I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. We check in with Graham McRaynor, the music writer for the Vancouver Sun. He's covered arts and entertainment in Vancouver for the past 5 years. He's also a freelance writer and producer, a dad, and he makes these great videos you can watch online. There's some funny stuff there, like the Hitler video on the Olympics. At jawbone.tv, you can read his semi-regular series, of pieces, Cokehead, which, as it says in the cautionary note, chronicle one man's journey to and from the depths of cocaine addiction, including entanglements with Mexican drug police and a trio of knife-wielding pimps in Amsterdam, and life as a second-rate model in Milan, a bartender in Toronto, and a philanderer everywhere. They're great pieces, witty and fascinating. The website for more is fluentfuel.com. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Graham McRaynor. Good morning, Mr. McRaynor.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. The Olympics, I guess you agree with Hitler?
You know what? I think they've done a pretty good turnaround, though. You know, I was kind of cynical about it. They had a bad start. But I think they've done a pretty good job. And, you know, the city's been really into it, which has been nice to see. Haven't actually personally checked out NBC's coverage, just read a lot about it, obviously. And I think CTV's done a pretty good job on their coverage. You know, I watch all the Olympic stuff online, which is, you know, the first time I've done that. I don't have cable anymore. So I think the coverage has been good. You know, some of the personalities on TV are a little, you know, not my cup of tea. But as far as coverage goes, I think they've done a great job.
What do you think about what's gone on in the city thus far? Have you been out to check some of the installations, some of the pavilions?
I haven't been into too many pavilions. I covered a couple of the live city shows for the Sun, and I've walked around a lot with my son, London, you know, mostly on Robson Street. So I've done this sort of tour thing, which has been an interesting way to see the city, and it's been really, it's been kind of cool to see everybody sort of rally behind the Olympics.
Yeah. So what does the music writer at the Sun do? I mean, is that's a regular gig, obviously. How often do you appear in the paper?
Well, there's no set amount of how many times I appear in the paper, but I'm a contracted writer, so I don't work full-time for them, but I am their music writer, so what that entails, I basically cover touring bands, so any big-name artist that's coming to the city, I will generally interview as a preview to the concert, and then I do reviews as well, so I function in a critic capacity as well for some of the shows. I think there's a guy there that works more of the local stuff, but he's in-house.
Like the symphony, he covers that and that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, there's a symphony guy. There's, I think, Francois Marchand covers, he's recently been brought in sort of full-time or 4 days a week, and he covers more local stuff. Because, you know, covering a local scene is pretty time-consuming. You know, you get a lot of music sent to you, and you have to go through a lot of stuff. The way I work is I just get basically, you know, my editor will tell me so-and-so's coming to town, set up the interview, and here's your deadline. So it's a pretty simple process for me.
And with all the stuff that's going on in the city because of the Olympics, has it been good for the art scene here?
Well, it's been a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of acts coming through. Unfortunately, because they're coming through to perform at the Olympics and not promoting their own, you know, releases and stuff, they've been sort of reluctant to do interviews. So I had a pretty pretty bad success rate at setting interviews for all the artists that were coming through. I'd say I probably was successful 30% of the time, which is, you know, normally when they're promoting something, it's 100% of the time. So I got to talk to Devo. I got to talk to, who else did I talk to? Well, I talked to a few, but I mean, you know, generally, like, I couldn't get Kato, and I couldn't get Nelly Furtado. I couldn't get artists that generally are always willing to talk to you when they've got something coming out. Nobody wants to do it as a preview for the Olympics, so I guess understandably so.
Now, I've been reading the pieces in the paper, and these are all people that aren't on my iPod. Like,
right.
Like, I don't listen to Wilco or Feist. I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 on my iPod, but I think that's about it.
Yeah.
What kind of music is this, if you had to tell someone the music that you're writing about?
Well, it varies. Well, I mean, Wilco, pretty well-regarded. Jeff Tweedy's a really well-regarded lyricist. Great band. Doesn't always necessarily translate great live. Didn't help that it was pouring rain during the concert, so that was putting everybody in sort of a... Well, I mean, I wouldn't say foul mood, but everybody was cold, and they performed for... they performed admirably for about 90 minutes, and it was pretty cold. So, but yeah, I mean, they're kind of like an indie-sounding band. Everybody's, they get compared to, some people say they're America's Radiohead. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but, I mean, they can get a bit noisy at time and experimental, but it's like indie rock, you know, Wilco is anyway.
See, I'm waiting for a piece on Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet from you, you know?
Well, maybe, you never know.
Yeah. What did you make of the opening ceremonies?
I thought they were pretty good. You know, again, I think as Canadians, for some insane reason, we're always sitting on the edge of our seat waiting for some catastrophe to happen. I'm not sure why we're like that, but... and I guess in that regard, we sort of got our wish when the cauldron didn't come up properly and everyone was sort of rolling their eyes going, oh, I knew this was going to happen. But I think for the most part, you know, technical glitches aside, it was pretty good. I know there's been some criticism that, you know, ethnicities weren't represented as they should have. Probably a fair argument. We'll see what they do for the closing ceremony, see if they can correct that.
And music-wise, how does that work? I mean, do you think that it was an appropriate reflection of Canadiana?
I don't know. I mean, it was pretty white, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like Nelly Furtado, Brian Adams, wasn't a big fan of that. I think they were lip-syncing. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think they were, apparently.
Yeah, Sarah McLachlan, you know, I think that's fair enough. I mean, she's a pretty big-name artist from here. But no, yeah, I mean, besides the Aboriginals coming on the beginning, and staying out for the whole time. And I must say, good dance cardio, because they danced for quite a while. But besides them being out there, I mean, you know, it seemed like it was... Well, here's, like, our white celebrities. And then, of course, all the flag bearers were white as well. Like, so it was a bit white.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was an accurate reflection of Canada.
What do you make of all the other stuff that's happened in the city? Sort of, we hear about this, the spontaneous singing of Oh Canada and... people just dancing on the street because Facebook told them to.
Well, there's been a lot of that going on. Oprah had a big flash mob as well. It's good. I mean, it's nice to see people, you know, wearing Canadian colors and being proud of Canada, because you don't really see that every day. I mean, I don't know. I can't even... The last time I think I saw anything even close to this would have been when Canada won in Salt Lake City, and I was living in Toronto at the time, and the streets afterwards, Yonge Street closed down, and it was pretty insane. But, you know, this has been consistent every night since the Olympics started, so it's really something new, and I think it's good.
Now you've lived all over the world, and you're Canadian. Yeah. What do you think, I've been asking guests this week, what do you think it means for the country? Do you think that this is some sort of nation-defining exercise these last few days?
Nation-defining exercise. I think in a way, I mean, I think people are sort of, for the first time, wearing their patriotism on their sleeve, so in a way we're becoming, you know, it's almost more American the way we're showing our colors, so I think that's good. I think there can be dangers with that as well, but, you know, I don't think anybody wants to start going too far off the edge of this stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's one of those things that people will just go back to their regular sort of routine afterwards. But it's nice to see everyone sort of rally behind Canada. And, you know, even though it hasn't been... I mean, we've got the most goals we've ever won, but we're really far short of that on the podium target of, I think it was 30 medals. So, kind of a reality check on that level. But as far as the world goes, I mean, you know, all I can think that the Olympics represent is like a giant, expensive postcard for Vancouver, you know, and I think the weather cooperated in that regard. So, I mean, I don't know what else the Olympics really, you know, hosting the Olympics, what else is it, bring to the city? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the, you know, if you compare the ratio for investment to, like, what you get back from it. I don't know what they're for, you know?
Yeah.
They're not for people like me, that's for sure. I mean, I haven't gone to one event because I can't afford to get into any.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
And I've avoided everything about it. I've the closest I've gone downtown is Main and First Avenue. And even that was a bit much. I've already told you about what a great series Cokehead is. What's the response been from other readers?
Well, the response, I think, that the the guy that runs the site, I think the response has been positive. The problem is getting people to read original material online has been pretty challenging. So I've written other pieces for that site, say, like I interviewed an old friend of mine, Clint Shorter, who did the music for District 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that kind of thing has traction because he just signed to an agent with in L.A. and obviously the movie's nominated for an Academy Award or the screenplays, I think. So, I mean, that kind of thing gets lots of hits because it's easy to sort of get it out there. But when you have an original series on a site that's sort of fledgling, it's kind of tough to get traction. So there's been some struggle to get people, like, to get eyes on it. I think the first one had quite a few readers, and then it sort of has dwindled since then. But I think, I mean, this is the way it is for long-form writing these days, I think.
And you're taking the piece, are you, and you're adapting it elsewhere, are you?
I actually turned it into a screenplay, and I did it because I had the sort of framework already written long-form through the articles. I used that as an outline, and I wrote a screenplay. I think I wrote the film in 10 days, so it was pretty quick. And, you know, I really enjoy the process of writing screenplays a lot more than I do writing long form. It's just, for me, it's a more enjoyable experience. And I think it's a more natural fit for my writing style, the screen. So,
yeah.
But I haven't done anything with it. It's sitting on my hard drive. We'll see. I was going to send it off to some producers in L.A., but I don't know. It's a pretty personal story, so I'm not sure what kind of interest I'll be able to get out of it.
Was writing it cathartic in any way for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been an interesting experience. I started as an experiment to see what I could get out of it, and you know, there's a lot of sort of navel-gazing, you know, serious drug movies, and I didn't want it to be that. I mean, because I didn't want to revisit that stuff. But and if I did cover that stuff, because I think you can't just gloss over the shitty parts of drug use, but I mean, if I did go through it, I wanted it to make it humorous in some level. So I mean, I wanted to make it funny. That was my number one goal, was to make it entertaining.
And that it is, yeah. The Oscars are next week. Will you be watching those?
I don't know if I'll watch them live. I know some of the nominations, but I might tune into some of it. We'll see.
You've seen a number of the films, have you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, has it been a good year for film?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm more and more getting into sort of foreign films. You know, I've been watching some of the stuff coming out of Britain and Europe, and there's some really good foreign films. I like the way they make films better. I'm not a big Hollywood movie guy, you know, the formulaic sort of three-act structure and everything's sort of cookie cutter. I don't like that. You know, but Up in the Air, I thought it was okay. Do I think it's an Academy Award winning film? No. You know? I think it's, I don't know if the standards are going down or if it's a bad year for film, I'm not sure. But the ones, you know, for me, it's like The Hurt Locker is a clear, obvious choice for best film, you know? And it's low budget if you compare it to, say, Avatar, which is ridiculous. And I don't think a film should win an award just based on what people spend on it, you know?
Yeah. Stephen Hunt from the Calgary Herald was on yesterday, and he said Up in the Air was our generation's Tootsie, or this era's Tootsie.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't agree with that at all. No, I don't know. George Clooney was pretty good in it. You know, he's always pretty solid. But I just... Yeah, the film just didn't do that for me. I don't know. But I was the same with Juno as well, you know? For me, I thought Juno was severely overrated.
Really?
And that's a Jason Reitman film too, right?
Yeah. Will you be watching Leno on Monday?
No. No, I've never been a fan of Leno.
Yeah.
No, I find his humor, like, really dated, you know? Besides, you know, now you can go online and you get the clips, the highlights, right? So it sort of eliminates the need to watch the whole show.
And did you think he did well with that ad with Letterman and Oprah? He sort of redeemed himself, didn't he?
I don't know. He took a pretty big PR hit, I know that. But, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about millionaires, you know what I mean? I don't think anyone's going to feel too sorry for Conan, who's just joined Twitter, I hear.
Yeah.
So, So, you know, the guy's growing a beard, and he's apparently putting together a comedy tour. And, you know, you'll see him again on TV in September for sure. So, you know, how bad can we feel for that guy?
Are you killing your Twitter account?
I was talking about it because it's such a time waster for me, but at the same time, it's kind of a good way to get my stuff out there. I just need to generate more followers, but you know, I understand it's a sort of it's a two-way street. You just can't put your own stuff up there. But I've been trying to interact with it more, and I think that's the problem. Like, I start retweeting, and then I'm like responding to people. And next thing you know, I'm not getting any work done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So you but can they can follow you at Graham McRaynor, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it's kind of a neat device. I mean, it's kind of, especially for someone like me, who's sort of sarcastic by nature, especially when I'm sitting behind a keyboard. So, you know, I can watch the Olympics online, and I can sort of give, like, real-time commentary to what's going on. So I think, for me, it's sort of a, and that's also part of the problem. During the Olympics, I've just been, I'm kind of be tweeting like mad. So I find myself not doing much else.
Graham, I appreciate this. Thanks again.
All right, thanks, Joseph.
You're very welcome. The series is Cokehead, and you can get that at jawbone.tv. FluentFuel.com is his website. The music writer at the Vancouver Sun, Graham McRaynor, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata. Graham, are you still there?